It is good to gather at this table this morning. For the past few weeks, we've been thinking together about Colossians 1, verses 18 and 20. We've been reading that passage together. I encourage you, if you have a Bible, to open your Bible to Colossians 1, verses 18 through 20. If you don't have a Bible with you, you should be able to find one in one of the hymnal racks there. There are some black Bibles in those hymnal racks, and I encourage you to get one of those if you do not have your own Bible with you this morning. I want to say a few things about the book of Colossians as we think about eating this bread, drinking this cup at this table this morning. The last few weeks in my sermons, I've been talking about faith and hope and love out of 1 Thessalonians. I think it's interesting that in Colossians, right before 1 Thessalonians, you have in chapters 1, 4, and 5, you've got mention of those same three things. Where he says in chapter 1, verse 4, I've heard of your faith. And he says, I know that you have love for all. Chapter 1, verse 4. And that you have this hope that is laid up for you in heaven. You have this confident expectation. There is an inheritance that awaits you. In chapter 1, verse 12 of Colossians, he reminds these Christian brothers and sisters, our Christian brothers and sisters, though a lot of centuries separate us, he reminds them in chapter 1, verse 12, God has qualified you. I love that translation. You've been qualified, he says in chapter 1, verse 12. Give thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share, to have fellowship, to be partners in the inheritance of the saints in light, he says. God has qualified you. And I think it should not surprise us. And I think one reason he brings this up is that apparently, according to chapter 2, verse 18, there are some who have come along after Paul and have tried to disqualify them. And he says, if God has qualified you, believe God. Do not listen to anyone who comes along, and as he says in chapter 2, verse 18, anyone who claims to have special insight, special revelation, special visions from God, don't listen to them. Who come along and try to disqualify you by saying they have special insights that you can have only if you listen to them. Listen to me, Paul says. Early on in this letter, God the Father has qualified you for the inheritance among the saints of light. And he goes on and says in chapter 1, verse 13, and so you've been rescued, you've been delivered, you've been saved. There is this big story in the Bible that we need to remind ourselves of from time to time. The first three chapters of Genesis, how things went terribly wrong, things that were so good in chapter 1 that become very good. They are pronounced very good when human beings are created. God created human beings to live in fellowship with Him, direct fellowship. To live in His presence. And when things go terribly wrong, when human beings rebel against their Creator, they now must leave the presence of God. That's what happens at the end of chapter 3 of Genesis. They no longer are living in that garden in the presence of God. And Paul says in chapter 1, verse 13 of Colossians, you've been rescued from that story and how things went wrong in that story. You've been rescued from the dominion, the kingdom of darkness, he says, and you've been redeemed, chapter 1, verse 14. You've been redeemed, you've been bought back, he says. Before we eat this bread and drink this cup in a little bit, we're going to sing a song about redemption. In Christ redeemed, in Christ restored. What is it that's restored? It is that we now, again, in Christ, live in the presence of God, because God has bridged the gap that was created by sin in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, who left heaven and came to earth and lived as a human being and died a sinless human, who never rebelled against the Father. And now He has brought us back into the very presence of God. We live in the presence of God. We've been redeemed. Our sins have been forgiven, chapter 1, verse 14 of Colossians says. We've been redeemed and we've been restored. We're going to sing in a moment before we eat this bread and drink this cup. And in chapter 1, verses 15 through 17, Paul says that in Christ, all of creation comes together. The realm of God, heaven, is brought together in Jesus Christ with the realm of human beings, so that human beings now live as they were always meant to live, in the presence of God, in Jesus Christ. Jesus, he says in verse 15, is the image of the invisible God. When you see Jesus, you're seeing the God who cannot be seen. And He is the firstborn of all creation. He is the one of highest priority and preeminence of all creation. But Jesus became a part of this creation. The Creator became a part of the creation in Jesus Christ. Verse 16 says, "For in Him all things were created, in heaven and on earth. And all things were created through Him and for Him." That's an interesting idea, isn't it? Have you ever thought about that Jesus was present at the creation? When trees were created, Jesus had a part in that, and yet the time would come when Jesus is crucified on a tree. God became a part of our world in Jesus Christ. When we gather around this table, I think we're reminded of that truth. This bread is material, physical. This cup is material, it is physical, it is earthly, and yet is there something heavenly about this as well? Just as heaven and earth came together in Jesus Christ, so heaven and earth comes together at this table. We eat this bread, and we drink this cup, yet pretty much any of us could go to any grocery store and buy this matzo bread, this unleavened bread. We could buy this cup, this fruit of the vine, this grape juice. But there's something different at this table, isn't there? There's something different. There's something unique. It's the coming together in this table of heaven and earth. In the same way that the water in this baptistry is just water that comes out of the city tap. But there's something more that goes on when a person is baptized, isn't it? Heaven and earth come together. The material and the immaterial come together. And that's true at baptism. It's also true each week at this table. Let me just read verses 15 through 17. He, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for by Him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. There's a lot said there, and it's hard to comprehend it all, isn't it? And isn't that a wonderful thing? That what Christ is, who Christ is, and what He has done is more than our feeble brains can comprehend. But we can grasp a little of it, can't we? We can begin to think about it, can't we? Now, I asked you a moment ago to get your Bibles out. I want us to spend some time quietly, individually, and yet collectively. I want to encourage you to open your Bibles to chapter 1, verses 18 through 20, and to read to yourself those three verses as we prepare to eat and drink around this table. Verses 18 through 20. Please read those, and I'll stop you in a moment. But I want to give you a few moments to read those verses to yourself. I want to read these verses. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. What went wrong in chapter 3 of Genesis is peace. There has been chaos in our world ever since Genesis 3. This world has been messed up ever since Genesis 3, hasn't it? Why? Because human being after human being has lived out the story of chapter 3 of Genesis of Adam and Eve, who said to God, "Not your will be done, but my will be done." Any of y'all done that? I have. I've known what was right, and I said to God anyway, "I'm going to do what I want to do." Any rest of you done that? That's why this table is so important to us week by week, because I've done that this last week. Now, my intention is to call off the rebellion, but I'll tell you, I fail. How about you? And that's why verses 18 through 20 of Colossians 1 is good news this morning. Verse 18 says that by the merit of his resurrection, Jesus is the firstborn of the dead. And what that says is he's the first one, but he's the greatest of all. But that implies there's going to be some others raised from the dead. By the merit of the resurrection of Jesus, he has been pronounced to be preeminent. He is higher than any other. Jesus is preeminent. Verse 18. Verse 19. And in this resurrected Jesus, God, the fullness of God, it says, dwells in that Jesus Christ. Jesus is fully God, fully deity and yet fully human. Why? Because it took someone like that to reconcile heaven and earth, God and human beings. And that's what is being said in verse 19. Verse 20, he is reconciling. To reconcile means to make it fit, to make it right, to make it match. Jesus has brought together heaven and earth, reconciling all things in heaven and all things in earth. Jesus is reconciling God and human beings. And the good news is, notice the very last part of verse 20. You may want to write this somewhere. There's this Hebrew word that's a powerful word. You may want to write down the English version of that word. S-H-A-L-O-M. Shalom. It's translated very often peace or well-being. It's the idea of things being as they ought to be. Human beings created to dwell in the presence of God now are dwelling in the presence of God. It is well. It is well. It is right. That's a good feeling, isn't it? We have that feeling every once in a while where things are right. Things are as they ought to be. In Jesus Christ, things are being brought back to be as they ought to be. And thus, by the blood of the cross, verse 20, by the blood of the cross, His cross, Jesus is bringing shalom, well-being, peace. As we gather around this table this morning, there is much for us to celebrate, isn't there? There is much for us to be joyful about. God is at work to repair this world gone wrong. And one of the things we celebrate around this table is the cross of Jesus that has brought peace, brought well-being, setting things right. And we give thanks. Aren't you thankful that God sent Jesus, His Son, on a rescue mission? You ever need to be rescued? And ever after you're rescued, you're thankful, aren't you? That's what this table is about. God, I thank You. And it's not simply that I have been rescued. It is that we have been rescued. Isn't it good to have brothers and sisters who in Christ have been rescued and redeemed and reconciled? And we get to eat around this table together and drink around this table together. May God bless us and strengthen us. And may His grace help us, help prepare us for this week as we eat this bread and drink this cup.